Live Well, Win Well. It's On Point with Wanda and Stokes, Radio News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Want to welcome our guest today, Mr. Darryl Triplett, who's a former police officer for the Jonesboro Police Department. And he credits the Lord, his family, and long police career for his many talents. He's an actor, a comedian, and he's been around doing a lot of things, providing inspiration and comedy to many, and of course his long years of being with the police department. I want to say welcome, Darryl. How are you?
Hey, I'm wonderful. Thank you. You make me sound like I'm somebody.
You are somebody.
Thank you so much.
You know what I love about you? You love to keep it real. You just straight up.
Ain't no other way to do it but to do it.
That's right. Well, let's go right on in. I want to ask you, and we invite all our callers to call in, as a former police officer, what are your thoughts on the recent tragic events among African-American people killed by police officers?
You know, it's a very sensitive subject to me, as we've been preaching this for years. I mean, these are very recent cases, but the cases of unarmed black men that has been shot by police over the last several years it has always been. And I think with just modern technology, it's sort of bringing it to the forefront of what we've been saying all along, that this needs to be very strong police reform, and that this is something real that happens. We have a lot of great cops out there. We have a lot of great cops out there who put their lives on the line for us every single day. But with any profession, you know, you're going to have some bad apples. And unfortunately, being a police officer is sort of like being a pilot. You sort of can't have a bad day. You can't mess up like that, you know, because you get to go to jail or dead. So it's a difficult time for police right now. It's a difficult time for the African-American community. It's a difficult time for everybody, because as you can see, there's several white folks that are just as outraged as African-Americans out there protesting and all that other stuff behind this. It's time for a change.
I would like to know from you exactly what do you feel is important for America to know about police officers and policing?
You know, that's an excellent question, Wanda. And I love your show, by the way. God bless
you. Thank
you. but that's an excellent question. You have to know that this is, you know, I've heard a lot of people say that this is, you know, well, the police officers need to be trained more. You know, to me, this is not a training issue, because if it was a training issue, you would have just as many African-American police officers shooting and killing unarmed black men than what you would white or Caucasian officers doing the same thing. This is very simple. In order to get to the ground root of this problem, you have to address race. And you have to address race within the police department. And you have to address race within America. If we don't address that, we're sort of just tap dancing around the situation. And I know nobody wants to talk about it, but we have a very serious problem, and we have to address it. And frankly, I think that the way to do that is, you know, you have to get the police talking to the community, the community talking to the police, and not about no BS. You know, you have to come with real stuff when you're communicating. It has to be a two-way conversation. The police can't just shut down just because the community's talking to them, and the community can't shut down just because the police is saying something, you know, and it's a tough time for us right now.
When you say that we need to talk about race, because perhaps that's what this has done, all of the recent murders of African-American individuals and these tragic events, it has exposed the need to talk about race. Who should initiate that conversation?
Oh, absolutely. I think it has to be initiated by the police. And I'll tell you the reason why is because the police department and the chiefs of police and the sheriffs are the ones who control the police officers. And until we have change at the top, now I'm not for necessarily firing every chief when a disaster happens in that jurisdiction, because some of these chiefs of police have 36,000 officers to worry about. Others are smaller, but you have to start from the top there, and it has to be some type of meaningful conversation. Again, it does no good to tap dance around this issue. You got to address it straight on.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
How can police communicate with the African-American community, because that's the only one that seems to be being shot and killed.
Exactly. Hold tight a second, Daryl, because I want you to continue your statement. We'll be back with more from Daryl Triplett, former police officer for Jonesboro Police. It's On Point with Wanda Lynn Stokes and News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Live well, win well. It's On Point with Wanda Lynn Stokes, right here, News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Feel free to join the conversation, 404-892-2703. Speaking with Daryl Triplett, former police officer for Jonesboro Police Department. Mr. Triplett, we were talking about who should initiate the conversation about racism. Police officers, civilians, who should initiate that conversation? And go ahead, continue.
Yeah, sure. I think it has to come from both sides of the fence, man. I think the police would be a pretty good way to show a good faith effort to initiate those conversations by holding community forums. Now, I'm not talking about argument sessions.
Okay.
I'm not talking about going there and we all know what has happened. All right. We are all disgusted by what has happened. We all know that there's racist cops out there. So, you know, I think it would be great if the community police departments started the conversation off. But if they don't do it, then the community has a responsibility to do it by holding our elected officials accountable. And best believe when that mayor tells that chief of police, hey, you need to go meet with these guys, it's going to get done. But I think with a lot of the chiefs of police, they've expressed that, of course, the situation, I mean, the all of the situations to me are huge, because you should not have a police officer shooting unarmed black men at an alarming rate like we're doing. We shouldn't have it at all, but definitely we've been preaching this for years. It's got to start, you know, my opinion would be with the police, because the last thing you want, people act out and you see riots and turning over cars and setting police stations and police cars on fire. When people don't see justice, when you see an officer choke a man out on video and the police department comes back and says, that wasn't a chokehold. And by the way, we're not putting no charges on these officers, too. And they just skate free. See, that is what drives the community crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of good cops out here who call BS on that, you know. So, you know, it is deeper. Like I said, it has to start from the top. And, you know, I've fought that fight for many years being on a police department. You know, I've reported other rogue officers before. I'm not ashamed to say that. And I know everybody says, you know, the thin blue line or whatever. But to me, it's very simple. Right is right and wrong is wrong. The police is not always wrong, by the way, too, because some of us be tripping, too. All right. So we can't just point every time an officer has to use force on someone that, fire him. No, see, again, we have a thing called law and order in our society. And without law enforcement, who would enforce the law and order?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, look at what has happened now, like I was talking about in Minneapolis, in Seattle, where they're having all these mass shootings now. These are not police-related shootings. This
True.
Is black-on-black crime. So
That's
imagine,
true.
Yeah, imagine without the police.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. But Daryl, let me ask you something. What would
sure.
make a police officer stand there and watch another police officer do something wrong? You know,
that's an excellent question. If you look at that situation, these guys were new, but to me, that's not an excuse, because we took an oath. To sworn to uphold and protect the citizens of where you live at, to enforce the law. And you don't need a dargone department memo to say that don't allow another officer to choke a man to death You don't need a department memo or a rule or a law to say that. That's just, to me, that's common sense. You see this man down there choking this man on the ground, and you're standing there with your hands in your pockets.
Mm-hmm.
See, again, that's why I say as cops, sometimes we're our own worst enemies, because you don't want to cross that line. You may be a new officer in their case, and you may be scared, but that is your job. That is precisely your job. Your job is not only to apprehend the bad guys, and your job is not only to use force, if necessary, against perpetrators, it's also to protect those perpetrators once you have them in custody, too. So you have to render aid. If, heaven forbid, if there is a shooting and you are forced to use deadly force on someone, you have to provide medical attention immediately to that person once the scene is safe.
Mm-hmm.
But again, as the African-American community, all of these videos that you're seeing now, and every single time, and I always suggest, if you see an officer and you think he's doing something wrong, pull out that cell phone. You will never hear Officer Keep It Real, Daryl Triplett, tell anybody to fight the police, because it's a never-ending losing battle. And I don't want to see any more black men dead.
Right. Neither do any of us. Reverend Miller has a question for you. Go right ahead, Reverend Miller. Go right ahead.
How you doing, Mr. Stoke?
I'm doing great. How about you?
How you doing, Ms. Triplett?
Good, brother. Good, Reverend. How are you, sir?
I'm doing just fine. Ms. Triplett, I really want to be, I just really want you to be transparent, and I want to be as open and objective, and I've been listening to what you've been saying thus far. And, you know, like I said, those who I represent within my community, we are not anti-cop, we are anti-bad cops. I just want to let you know, put that on the record.
Yes, sir.
We want officers, or we want police within our communities. But then, you know, it's like, you not only have to protect yourself from criminals within the community, but when you have those who have the badge and gun uniform on, who are committing just as much as worse crime than the person who's committing crimes in our community, it puts us in a very, very limbo where there is a lack of trust. And I have always said this, is that trust has been damaged, Mr. Triple. And I'm just saying that in order to be able to restore that trust, is that law enforcement has to be honest about their own within the culture of law enforcement. That needs to be changed. We're talking about the culture of law enforcement, how they're being brought up, how they're being trained, how they're being taught. And all of these atrocities that are going around in our community, especially among cops, is unacceptable and inexcusable. So what I'm saying is when you talk about, okay, now I got a brother-in-law, I got a brother who's also law enforcement. Now, they're not here in Georgia, but also in other parts of the United States. But what I'm saying is that when we talk about good cops, what is the definition of a good cop? That's what I want to know. What is the definition of a good cop? Is a good cop someone, you know, and I understand that there are cops out there who are seeking to try to make a difference within the community, but I really believe that with all of the atrocities that goes on within our country, especially in Minnesota, especially in Atlanta, and we got to keep it real, Ms. Triple. This is something that we all going to have to sit down and talk about without always talking at each other and pointing the finger at one another,
right,
and realizing that this is a problem. This is a systemic problem.
Yes.
So my question is, what is the definition of a good cop besides, well, just a few bad apples within the department? Well, if it's just like having a rotten apple. You know, you may have certain parts of the apple that's rotten, but if you got a rotten part in the apple, it affects the whole apple. And I'm not gonna eat a rotten apple when I know that the apple is rotten. So what I'm saying is, what is the definition of a good police officer? That's what I need to know. And number two, and that is this, is that let's address the issue of the culture of law enforcement. That's all I want to say, sir.
Thank you, Reverend Miller. Daryl Triplett, what do you say? What's your response?
Yeah, so let me address Reverend Miller's first question. Thank you, brother. I echo and agree with a lot of what you're saying also. And I talk straight, Reverend. And you asked me, what is the definition of a good cop? And that's a very hard question, but it's sort of easy to me. A good cop, in my opinion, is the cop that is willing to stand up against other rogue cops. That is that cop who's willing to, when he sees something wrong, or when you're in the locker room and you hear another cop maybe dropped your N-word or something like that, being able to expose that. Because, see, what happens is that type of thinking carries over to the street. A good cop also looks at a situation and go, even if it's a white person on a black person or a black person on a white person, and is able to say, you know what, hey, Mr. Bad Guy, hold on. This ain't about race. You're wrong on this. You robbed a liquor store. You drove drunk. You did this. You did that or whatever. You got to go to jail and pay your debt to society, too. So, see, it's not just a one-sided flip of the coin of where every time a cop does something wrong, we're all jumping down their throats.
I hear you. Hold on a moment, Daryl. I've got to come back to you right after this break as he continues to talk about and define what is a good cop. More to come. Daryl Triplett, former police officer for Jonesboro Police Department. Right here is On Point with Wanda Lynn Stokes and who's a Doc 1380 WAOK. Daryl Triplett sharing with us. Live well, win well. It's On Point with Wanda Lynn Stokes and News and Talk. We're 1380 WAOK. As a former police officer, our caller asked, what is a good cop? And you were answering his question, but continue.
No, yeah. When I think of a good cop, and in my tenure of 25 years of protecting and serving, you've got to be willing to fight the hard fights as a good cop. It's not always easy, you know, and sometimes you have to go against the grain in order to do that. And when I tell you, Reverend, I'm not speaking only as a black cop, and I'm talking to my white cops out there also, that when you have to tote that line, you have to tote it with blinders on, you know, and you, when you're out there and you're dealing with calls, it is very easy to get caught up in the day-to-day negativity that goes on in the streets. But you got to realize everybody out there ain't bad. And like I said, you just got to be a stand-up guy. See, being a good cop starts far before you get a badge and a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Being a good cop starts from you being just a decent human being. And if we miss that important ingredient, the only thing you're going to have is an idiot with a badge and a gun. So
it starts with the character of who the person is, actually.
It starts with who you are. Mm-hmm. Daryl Triplett isn't a good cop because I'm a cop. Daryl Triplett's a good guy, regular, that just so happens to be a cop.
I hear you. Jihad from West End has a question for you, Daryl. Go right ahead, Jihad.
How are you, sir?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Good, bro. Well,
two questions, if I may. I have a problem with us expanding the conversation too broad. The issue is bad policemen. We shouldn't, and I don't think anyone ever implied that all police are bad. I don't think anyone ever implied that we don't need policing. I think that in this particular situation, or in any industry that we have, there are people who don't meet the standard of that particular profession. Our issue with the police department is taking all of this for you all, for the police department, not you, for the police department and administrators, just to admit that there's one bad guy or two bad guys or three bad guys. Why sacrifice a whole police department? Yeah. When you could clearly see that this particular person does not have the character that you talked about. And when they looked into the man's folder, he had 12 other grievances, eight of them legitimate or something like that. Why go to an extent of sacrifice the whole Atlanta Police Department to save this one guy?
You know, that's an excellent question, Jihad. I've always said, and I've had in my stand-up and I've had a show called The Officer Keep It Real Show, and one of the things that I've always said is that cops are like anybody else, of course. We do wrong, we do good, but when a cop crosses the line and does something so obvious and so egregious, like what we've seen in Minneapolis, the police department has got to come out and say, yes, that officer is wrong. Yes, that officer is in custody right now. That's our job as the police. Our job as the police is to enforce the law. If we just stuck to doing what we're paid to do, I think we would be all right, honestly, because the community can understand that there's bad people in everything that you do, but you have to be able to police yourself. And you are absolutely right when it goes back to the character of that individual. And another thing I want to address with you really quick is that I have seen people that says, well, you know, we would be better off without the police. Or I've had people tell me, I have a T-shirt that we have, it's called All Cops Ain't Bad. I've had people stop and tell me that, you know what, in my opinion, all cops are bad. I said, in order to say that all cops are bad, would be able to say, like, all people of color steal. And that's not the truth. You know, that is the flat-out lie. Or all people of color don't want law and order or whatever. So you can't just look at one cop and just say that, and I know that's not what you're saying, but for my other listeners out there who may feel that way or echo that, you can't just look at one cop and say that all cops are bad, because that may be very well the cop that now bone rushes that other rogue cop off of your neck when you're down on the ground. So we've got to give support to where there's support needed. But again, you're absolutely right when you say it shouldn't take black folks to move heaven and earth, and black and white folks, I'm sorry, because there's just too many white folks out there protesting and rioting too, to move heaven and earth to get the police department to say that, yes, this officer was wrong.
But Daryl, this has been going on for a while, and why should it wait until we're in this age of technology where you can pull out your actual phone and videotape a lot of this that's happening? Let's go to Gregory out of Charlotte, North Carolina. He has a comment or question for you. Go ahead, Gregory.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Wanderlyn and Officer Triplett.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Gregory. How you doing, brother?
Doing pretty good. Yes, my question refers to the Justice in Policing Act of 2020, which is being introduced by Congress as a bill tomorrow. And as part of the provision of that act, Congress hopes to restrict or roll back what's called the 1033 programs. And that's basically the programs where the military will come back from a war like Iraq or Afghanistan, and the Department of Defense will give local police departments like Atlanta, Charlotte, or Jonesboro military-grade equipment. And so my first question for you would be, do you think it's a good idea to have this provision to take this military equipment away from the police? And also, do you think that this was a problem, looking back at the past, that when you give local neighborhood police military equipment, it makes them act like military police, and they see the people as the enemy? I'd like to get your opinion, Officer Triplett.
Thank you for your questions. Go right ahead, Daryl.
Yeah. I don't think that it's like I teach my kids. A gun is not I've never seen a gun just sit on a counter and just go off by itself. And the same with military equipment. I don't think that giving military equipment to the police will make the police act like military, because you still need a human being driving force behind that tank or behind that gun or whatever to make that happen. So I don't necessarily, because there are a lot of bad guys out here, Gregory, that outnumber us with guns, ammunition, all types of deadly things that they have out there. I don't think necessarily, I think that's sort of smoke and mirrors in my opinion, because I don't think necessarily that a piece of equipment is the problem here. I think the problem is race. I've said it 100 times and I'll keep saying it. I've got to tell the truth. And I don't want to sound like I'm beating a dead horse, but when you take a racist person and you put them outside of their environment, what they're used to, and then the first time, you know, everybody knows we just loud. You know, we ain't going to bust a grape in a fruit fight most of the time. You know, but and when you put someone in that situation, it's easy to scare them. And you have these unfortunate situations that happen. And then also, we have to look at that officer's background. When I'm talking about, does he have any KKK affiliation? Is he in a brother Aryan Nation or any other type of groups like that? Those have to be strong parts of a background investigation. But it's very difficult to do that when the officer that's doing the background may be very well from that background of the KKK also. I have to tell the truth.
And that's because, and that's why we need the reform.
Yeah.
That's why we need the reform. Yeah. Wow. You're bringing up some really, really good points. Michael out of McDonough, Georgia, I'm coming to you very shortly. Officer Daryl Triplett sharing with us, former police officer for Jonesboro Police Department. Keep listening. We're always keeping you on point. It is News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Live Well, Win Well is on point with Wanda Lynn Stokes, right here on News and Talk, 1380 WAOK. Playing just little excerpts from the funeral service of Rayshard Brooks on yesterday at Ebenezer Baptist Church. We're speaking with former police officer Daryl Triplett from the Jonesboro Police Department. Officer, I want to ask you, if you were active in the police department, how would you have handled the incident with Rayshard Brooks?
You know, that is a very difficult, that's a very difficult situation right there. And I know I did a video on this on my YouTube channel, and it's called I Was Black Far Before I Was Blue. And that is a very difficult case because on one side, there's so much political pressure for everyone to of course, and rightfully so, look at the situations that are happening today, and then to lump that situation into all of those. And to me, I'm just saying for Daryl Triplett, a.k.a. Officer Keep It Real, and I've got to keep it real. I can't buckle to the pressure of one way or the other or politics. And when you look at the Minneapolis situation, where these officers are outright killing this guy, he outright killed him on video, and he didn't give a darn who's seen it, and he stood there with his chest out like he was on a trophy or something. And versus the split-second decision that the APD officer had to make when he shot Mr. Brooks, whom my heart goes out to, and I love him dearly. God bless his soul. God rest his soul. Me and my wife have donated to them also. But again, right is right and wrong is wrong. I understand what people are saying that, well, he shot him in the back, some of the things that I've heard, or they could have taken him home or whatever. That's not their job to take him home. And it's an officer discretion thing. And I get it. That if he was white, they may have taken him home. I've heard all of that. I'm clear on that. But at the end of the day, it's an officer's discretion on this. And as a black man, I've got to be able to say that right is right and wrong is wrong. You should have never been driving drunk, and you definitely should have never been fighting the police. As a black man, I know, and every black man in America knows what's going to happen if you fight the police, let alone take their tasers and shoot it at their face. Now, I'm not saying that fighting with the police should be a necessary death sentence, because it shouldn't, because we see YouTube videos all the time of other people fighting with the police of other different ethnicities, and they don't never miraculously get shot and killed. But you got to realize, if you are a black man, and you're a black man in America, the odds are truly higher that that's going to happen to us.
That's not fair, though.
It's not. But that's where we're at, though. See, that's the reason why I will never tell someone. I've heard some parents say, if the police stop you, you fight those police. You don't let them do that to you because you're a strong black man. See, the only thing that you're doing is you're teaching our youth, number one, to hate the police. That's number one. And maybe some of us should be hated because we've had some screw-ups here, but all cops ain't bad. But number two, what you're teaching this kid is to fight the police, and what's going to happen is another Rayshard Brooks. See, I don't want to see, and nobody wants to see another black man dead. I'll never preach that, not in a million years. But as the black community, we also, just like the police department, we have to take responsibility and say, you know what, God, that is, it's a very rough situation. And I wish it would have never happened. But again, you know, as a cop, you've got family that you want to go home to, and you've got things that need to be done, too. So you can't get killed out here, you know.
So the cop could have gotten killed with the taser, basically.
Well, there's that.
That's a possibility.
It's a definite a possibility, because a taser in the hand of an untrained individual, it could be considered a deadly weapon.
But what about a gun in the hands of a trained individual?
It could be considered a deadly weapon, absolutely.
And absolutely. I mean, and that's what it was. You have a gun in the hands of a white police officer, and mm-hmm. he's trained, and he shoots him in the back.
Mm-hmm. And see, again, you know, I hate this, but, you know, I've got to stay on. If we don't stay on the side of law, mm-hmm. and you don't understand the law, I could easily see where it says the law says four things have to happen in order to be for a police officer to be able to use deadly force.
Uh-huh.
You have to have ability, opportunity, jeopardy, and preclusion. And that officer, whether we like it or not, met all four of those standards in the state of Georgia. I don't know about New York law. I don't know about South Carolina law. I know about Georgia law. And this is where this happened at.
I see. Let me go to Michael out of McDonough. He wants to join the conversation, Daryl. Go right ahead, sure. Michael.
Hey, Daryl. Listen, first of all, this is keeping it real. But I don't think you're really keeping it real for the listeners who are, I mean, really, they just, you know, they really have genuine, honest answers. And I spent 25 years, of course, you know, in federal law enforcement. And just to be transparent, there are things that we could not, absolutely not even think about doing that perhaps on the local level that officers could. Now, just put that out. But I think what you have done, number one, before I ask two questions that were asked to you as far as what's a good cop? And you said, well, you know, I don't know. But then want to just ask you, what would you have done in the Ms. Brooke case? And you said, well, that's difficult. Well, right there. There's nothing difficult about making a decision whether you're going to take deadly force. And there's nothing difficult about asking and answering what is a good cop. Obviously, as you mentioned about the locker room, officers can say whatever they want to say in the locker room. There's such thing as good and bad. I mean, you can say what you want to say. I don't have to be a part of the conversation. But when you go out into the street, the community policing part, that is when it becomes now a law and a legal issue. Meaning, for an example, I was waiting to hear, and she asked, what would you do in Mr. Brooks' case? Well, I was waiting to hear some type of, you know, as you're taught, you know, confrontation avoidance, as you're taught, it's a community policing, as you're taught situation awareness, as you're taught, what is the climate of the area? We already knew all these things. So to be hyper-vigilant, to be, you know, split-second reaction, you know, where there's it's a choice. But here's my question I really want to ask you. Because you're no longer law enforcement, and I'm no longer law enforcement, but I mean, I tell it like it is. White officers, and you, whether we all admit it or not, you have the same training as black officers. But the decision-making is different. I've tried on one hand, and maybe you could do it. My question to you is, one, have you ever in your 20-some-year tenure ever had to step up as a good cop, black cop, and tell someone else who's not of the same ethnicity, hey, no, man, that's wrong? Two, can you count in your 20-some year at least five examples whereas a minority officer did the exact same thing as a non-minority officer did? Because I can't. So you got the same training, you got the same laws, you got the same rules, but it seems that one segment do it without second guessing, whereas you, as a minority officer, you know, there are things that what you knew in your head while you were patrolling the street that you could not do that your other officer of white persuasion could do and get away with. And I'll wait here for your response. Sure.
Okay, no, just hold tight a second. I'm going to hold Daryl over if you got just an extra 10 minutes for me, Daryl. Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And he'll answer your question. And Sean and Gideon, I've got you coming up too as well. It is On Point with Wanda Lynn Stokes and News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Live Well, Win Well is On Point with Wanda Lynn Stokes. I'm just going to take this moment. We've got former police officer Daryl Triplett. Daryl, I want you to go right ahead and respond to the caller just before the break, and then I'll get these other callers in. Go right ahead.
Sure, Michael. So Michael's still with us, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Very well. Yes. So I want to answer your questions, Michael. You asked if in my 25-year career as a cop, have I ever reported any rogue officers? The answer to that is absolutely positively, yes, I have. Yes, I have. And I did it with great pleasure, and I'll tell you why. Because, again, I can't just preach on the behalf of the cop, and then when it comes to the bad cops, not preach it. The same thing as I cannot say it one way about someone who did break the law, and then because an unfortunate situation happens, and again, God bless it, not speak on it because of the pressure of the community, or that we're in fear of there may be more riots or something like that. Right is right and wrong is wrong, and you've got to uphold the law. The second question that you asked me was, and correct me if I'm wrong, have I ever experienced in my 25 years, can I recall at least five occasions where a black cop have done something that a white cop has done and gotten away with and the black cop didn't? Uh-huh. I can give you about a million of those. That happens every single day. You know that. You've been in law enforcement. But, you know, I think that when we're dealing with this is why I'm saying, Michael, and you know just as well as I know, if it was a training issue, like everybody keeps saying, then you would have just as many black cops shooting unarmed black men than white cops. If it's a training, a pure training issue, it's not. It's not. Because the numbers say it. And that's just the truth. So, you know, I hope I answered your question.
So in your opinion, is it more of a race issue? It is more of a race issue, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely.